We're looking at just a few verses from that part of the Bible about Jesus' trial and death, and just the trial and death. We've seen in chapter 22 and 23, we've seen that Jesus was arrested, he was insulted, he was charged, and he was killed. It's a beastly event. But what happens here, what happens is good. It's actually good for us. It's beastly, but Jesus, to pillage someone else's language, is a bestie. Jesus dies so that his team can win. Jesus dies for people so that people who would lose can win. Jesus dies so that you can be his bestie, his best friend. Jesus sacrifices himself in a beastly game so that you and I can live on. You see, Good Friday remembers the beastliest event in human history, the rebellion against the creator of the universe, the killing of the best man who ever lived, the execution of God in human form. But Good Friday remembers the best day in human history, the day when God, as one of us, sacrificed himself for the rest of us so that we might live and continue to live and live life to the full. Good Friday is beastly, but bestie. When Mr. Beast declared that the game had already begun, panic ensued. You saw people crying out for someone to save them. And you heard people saying, "It's not going to be me. It's not going to be me." Now, life is not a game, of course, not something that we play and then kind of turn back to the real thing. But if life is like a game, and if you exist, then the game has already started. And it started a long time ago, and the game turned dangerous right at the start. Right at the start, when God created the world and put humans on the earth, everything was good. Everything was right, everything was fair, nothing was beastly. But humans said to God, "Actually, we'd like to rewrite the rules. We'd like to be in charge. We'd like to say what is right and what is wrong." And then at that point, we turned on God, and we turned on each other. The good relationship we had with God was broken. The good relationship we had with each other was broken. And the good relationship we had with the earth was broken. And so the game's begun. Our relationship with God, broken. Our relationship with each other, broken. Our relationship with the earth, broken. And we see the effects of that everywhere we turn. And so every problem we experience in the world starts there. And our difficulty is, right, that it's actually hard to go back and undo it, because we can't undo what somebody else did. We can't even undo many of the things that we have done. It's like we're in a game that is stacked against us, because we can't undo those things. And so the story of the Bible is the story of people who are part of that game, but unable to finish the game safely. But the Bible is also the story of God who is working to end that game and end it well. It's the story of God showing people how bad things have become, but how good things can be again. The story of God entering the game, putting skin in the game, becoming involved with us, because the story of God is one where he enters this world. The story of Jesus being born as a human, living as a person, and then in these chapters in Luke and at that point in history, dying. The game's begun. And what is needed is someone to self-sacrifice. Someone must self-sacrifice. Someone must take the punishment that's necessary for our rebellion against God. Someone's got to take it. And it's mentioned time and time again in the Bible, but we see it again in verse 41 and 42 of chapter 22. And we read it. Now Jesus and his followers, they've eaten the Passover, the Last Supper, and now they're out on the Mount of Olives. And Jesus prays, verse 41, and this is what he prays in verse 42. Verse 42, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." Jesus prays, "Take this cup from me." Now, it's not that he's got a drink of water or something in the cup. You know, he's not got a cup there and needs it taken away. No, the cup is picture language. It's picture language. It's used throughout the Bible to picture the language of God. And it is a cup of poison, so to speak, but a cup that kind of tastes good at first. It's an image throughout the Bible, and it's reserved for people who fight God, and it says they will take the cup of my judgment and they'll drink it right down to the very bottom. And Jesus says, take this cup from me, the judgment, take it from me if you are willing. Jesus knows what this cup is that he's about to drink. He knows he's about to die and experience the judgment of God. But this is no accident. This is no mistake. He didn't end up in a game show without knowing. He didn't end up thinking that he perhaps could win but not knowing what was going on. No, taking this cup, the cup of God's judgment, was the plan of Jesus and the plan of God from the very beginning. His plan from the start of time. It's no game. It's no accident. Jesus came knowing full well what would happen. And he knew the stakes. Without his self-sacrifice, people would not be saved. Without his self-sacrifice, the whole team would go down. Let's see what happens in Beast Games. Ed, can you click the next slide, please? Lady 505 sacrifices herself for her team. She says, all these people deserve to win. And then she vanishes with that blood-curdling scream down the hall. And so do the other people who sacrifice themselves. And it's kind of horrifying watching them and hearing that scream. And there's kind of some terror in waiting for it to happen. But life isn't a game. And there's no padding underneath. And in life, you can't save other people from God's judgment unless you're perfect yourself. And Jesus knew that none of us would ever be able to self-sacrifice, that none of us would ever have enough credibility, enough honesty, enough integrity to be able to self-sacrifice for the whole world, let alone ourselves or our friends. And so what we needed was the perfect self-sacrifice of a perfect person. But no such person exists. And you look around and you look around at that line on the team and you think, he can't do it, she can't do it, he can't do it, she can't do it. There's no one good enough in the game. Which is why Jesus, he enters from outside the game. He became the perfect person by his perfect obedience to God, his perfect relationship with other people. This Jesus was the perfect one, the only one who could self-sacrifice for others. But even then it was painful, and you saw that in verse 42. He's praying to his Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. You see, even Jesus wishes that there was another way. Because experiencing the judgment of God is the worst thing anyone, perhaps especially God himself, can experience. And then you see he's reassured in verse 43. An angel from heaven appears and strengthens him. What did the angel say? We don't know. But I assume the angel reminds Jesus that this is the only way for people to be saved, the only way for these people to live, the only way for God to be glorified. And despite that, it's hard. And so in verse 44, he prays. He sweats, it says, you know, sweating like drops of blood almost. He sweats with the distress of what will happen. It's hard. The self-sacrifice of Jesus is no easy thing. But as a result of his sacrifice, the rest of us get a free ride. You see the excitement in Beast Games when someone self-sacrifices. Let's have the next one. There we go. The excitement when someone sacrifices so that you can be saved, so that you can keep going. You see, if it's exciting getting a chance at winning $5 million, if that's exciting, it's even more exciting to experience the self-sacrifice that gives life to the full, that gives more than $5 million can actually buy, that gives life the way God intended it to be, that gives relationship with each other the way life was meant to be. Jesus gives us life. He gives us a chance at life. And Jesus doesn't just do it because of guilt or some kind of sense of low self-esteem. You know, I've got to sacrifice myself for these people. You know, they deserve more than me. Jesus does it because he loves the world. And it takes us to the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And just in case you think it's only God the Father who loves the world, 1 John 3:16, Jesus says it as well. He says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us." It's different to beast games. In this life, Jesus lays down his life for us as an act of love. But Jesus doesn't do it because we're good. He doesn't do it because we deserve it. Jesus self-sacrifices himself because we don't deserve it. Jesus dies for us because we can't sacrifice for our own sins. Jesus self-sacrifices for us because we are like drowning people caught in a rip and we can't get out of it. In the game of life, we stand on trapdoors that we cannot control. And there is only one man in the room who can sacrifice himself so we have new life. You see, Good Friday isn't a day to tell you to try harder. It's not a day to tell you to be like Jesus, even though he's a good example to follow in the way you love Jesus. Now, this is a day to say, Jesus has offered us a free ride. Accept it. Enjoy it. Celebrate it. Make the most of it. And in words of one of the sacrifices in the beast game, don't forget me. Don't forget me. Don't forget Jesus. These are the words of Jesus on Good Friday. Don't forget me. And so we remember. We remember that we cannot save ourselves. We remember that Jesus self-sacrificed to save us. And we accept his sacrifice and we are grateful. Jesus says, "I will, so you won't. I will experience the judgment of God, so you won't have to. I will die, so you won't." And the beastliest day in human history turns into the best day of human history. Now, I haven't finished watching Beast Games. I think I've got to episode three. But how much of a twist would it be if those people who sacrificed themselves, who went screaming down the trapdoor, reappeared in a later episode? I don't know if it happens. Don't tell me if it does. How much of a twist would it be if they reappeared, if they resurrected into the games themselves? How right would it feel if these people who gave themselves up for no reward actually experienced the greatest award? Now, I don't know how the game ends, but I do know, at least in part, how it ends with Jesus. Having experienced the judgment of God, he beats death. For death cannot keep the perfect self-sacrifice down. And so Jesus comes back to life, not just temporarily, but permanently. And even though he says, "I will so you won't, I will be judged so you won't," his final slogan is different. He says, "I will live and you will live with me." See, Jesus doesn't just vanish down the chute of death and judgment. Jesus reappears as the game master, ready to welcome and accept those who accept his sacrifice. That is the end point of Good Friday. Life, destiny, reward, joy, harmony for those who accept the self-sacrifice of Jesus. It is a Good Friday, and let's pray together. Now, Heavenly Father, we see the beastliest day of history, and yet just a couple of chapters and not all that many words You turn it into the best day of history. We thank you that Jesus sacrificed himself for us. And we pray that you'd enable us to accept it with joy, with thanksgiving. And we pray that through that, we would know how to live, how to really live, and how to enjoy you all the days of our lives. Amen.